88.5 KCSN. Sky Daniels joining Jukebox the Ghost live in session today. Tommy, Ben, and Jesse join us. Welcome, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
It appears, with the latest record, The Great Unknown, that you continue to deepen your relationship with what I consider to be great classic pop song traditions. When you started the band, what was it that brought the three of you together, at least from a musical perspective?
Well, you know, it's funny. We met in college, and I thought at the time what felt remarkable about our gathering of people is that we didn't seem to be able to agree on anything except for the music that we were creating together.
So inspirations were all over.
No, yeah. No. When we've since like stopped listening to music at all in the van because it's such a point of contention. And there's no agreeing on it, but we have always found a way to agree on what we're supposed to sound like, you know.
We've always had a thing for, like, you know, kind of just always trying to write
pop music,
you know, great pop songs. That's kind of been the
not a dirty word.
Not a dirty word.
Not a dirty word.
Right.
Not a dirty word.
And I understand that you met in college and that you were, for the most part, trained musicians somewhat.
Yeah. Trained enough.
Trained enough.
I consider I did classical piano growing up. I feel like I'm totally overqualified for what I'm doing.
Does the fact that you have a class, how does one who is brought up, how early when you started the class?
I started playing when I was six.
Okay. So you really spent a long time.
I mean, I was on the conservatory track, and I think, you know, it's a lot of people don't make the transition. It's really hard to get off the page and into your own brain musically when you're like raised in that classical tradition. Like switching over to jazz rarely happens. Switching over to writing rarely happens. And sort of in the line of students that I was, you know, studying with growing up, I was sort of the oddball out because I was not practicing and trying to write music and doing that whole thing. And it's all there. It's all the same tricks, the chord progressions. I sneak it in as much as humanly possible.
When you start to form the sound of Jukebox the Ghost, did you have to, break from certain disciplines, or did you keep some of the disciplines in there in terms of song structure, but knowing you got to loosen it up, man? We're rocking.
Loosen it up. I just try, pop music is pop music, and rock music, it's not the same thing. You can't pretend you're doing some classical piece right. All wrapped up, but I'll slip in a chord progression, I'll slip in a technique, I'll slip in a texture, and just, it's really for my own benefit that I'm sneaking that towards the public. I think our early songs were totally spazzy and,
I mean, yeah, the movement of our band in its history has definitely been, the biggest struggle has been playing less notes.
And we're still learning how to simplify.
We're still learning how to play less notes. That's a tricky thing to do. But when I listen to old stuff, it's just like, oh, wow, they just learned some new scales and they're trying to show you. And, you know, over the years, it's just been learning how to say as much as possible with as little as possible.
One of your, certainly tour mates and possibly, you know, mentors, Ben Folds was in, and he talked similarly of how there was a point in his life when intentionally he wanted to show everybody how he could play and what they could play, and then realized, when am I doing it, you know, for attention, and when am I doing it for the sake of the song?
Yeah, at the end of the day, it has to serve a purpose. You know, if you're doing a big run or some, you know, these like crazy bumps, like that just doesn't, those sorts of progressions don't have a place in pop music, and so you have to pick your battles. You know, you have to put it tastefully in, so no one, you don't ever want it to take you out of the song.
I want it, I need it, I want somebody. I want it, I need it, I want your eyes to turn. I need it, I want it, I want somebody, baby. Now this is my turn. I don't want any more doors, 'cause I'm walking on the string. They only slam anymore, like we're some long forgotten. that there might be somebody after me. Oh, I want it. Ha, I need it. Ooh, I want it. Oh, I want it.
There are a couple of songwriters in the band, and I ask how then you how you've gotten to this sort of democracy that decides this song's in, this song's out. How does that process work?
I mean, that's
fist fights,
lots of fighting,
a lot of fist fights, a lot of thumb wars. no, I mean it's it used to be a more difficult process when we were first starting out, and now it's become a lot simpler because it's we've kind of gone into the last couple of records with more of a may the best song win kind of thing. You know, we're all interested in the band doing well and people enjoying listening to our band. So no, it's been a pretty easy process.
We finally got to a point where you can say, hey, this song sucks. You can't do that. Like, this isn't any good. Or this part's great, but this part's not working for this reason. And our feelings don't get hurt anymore. But like when you're first writing songs, it's such a personal thing that, you know, everything you do is precious, and you got to let go of that, I think, especially when you're working in a band with multiple songwriters or, you know, in a collaborative environment. You have to be able to let go.
Does the idea of shaping together an album, do you kind of enter into it thinking, okay, we want to structure our album and we want it to be a cohesive statement, and do you have this sense up front of, well, we're going to need a couple of these and a couple of those? Does that play into it, or is it just whatever comes out?
Absolutely. Probably less now than it used to, but I mean, speaking personally, I've always been a pretty big album geek in terms of listening to the whole record and thinking about the whole experience, and our first record really reflects that. It's more of a kind of concept-driven record, and there's probably five or six songs that flow into each other that are about the end of the world. It's, you know, sort of, you could misconstrue it as a rock opera if you wanted to. And over time, I think my brain has probably moved with that of the general public, which is that I love albums, but I sort of recognize that there are not many people who are digesting it in that format. And so you really want to say the most you can within the confines of one song. And if you can't do it and it needs multiple songs to say what you want to say, then maybe you should work on the songs.
Mm. But I will say, you know, we approach this record and there's only room for so many like slow songs, so many ballads.
Right.
And I think we both write tons of ballads. And so that's a decision. You know, if you can't do 11 like really, you know, tearjerkers, it doesn't work. So in that regard, we structure it. But at the end of the day, it is sort of the best songs win.
Starts with a phone call. I asked if you'd been crying, and you denied it. But I could tell just from your breathing, that's how it all starts. That's how it all starts. As for the mending, I think we shouldn't even bother. Let's make it simple. Let's make it simple. We don't need the time to think it over. Let's make it easy on each other. Let's let's make it simple. I think we shouldn't even bother. This was made for ending. Made for ending.
We started touring seriously in 2007, but we played for a couple of years in college first. So 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
At this point, have you gotten a sense of who your core audience is? Can you see, or is it a big variation of types?
Well, what's weird, you know, we haven't been the kind of band that's broken through on a top 40 kind of level or anything like that. So our fan base is sort of cobbled together, and you can kind of ask each individual person where they heard of us, and they can say exactly where. You know, if you ask somebody where they heard of the Killers or something, they'd be like, I don't know.
The radio,
I don't know. Everyone told me to listen to them.
Yeah.
But everyone has kind of a specific story. I mean, the interesting thing that we found is that our audience does tend to kind of stay in the same age range, no matter how old we are.
Yeah.
maybe there's some kind of bubbly optimism that I think the 16 to 24 set really relates to.
The other thing I will say is, and that I'm really proud of, is that I like when we go and play shows, we're really big on going out and talking to people after and before, and that our fan base is nice and they're genuine and they're earnest, and that is it's a common thread throughout.
They're the kind of fans who wear the band that they're seeing's t-shirt to the show because they don't know that that's a thing you're not supposed to do. It's
Uh-oh.
Nice.
And guys, you can keep
my
doing it.
My son's listening
okay.
now. I think you just freaked them out.
We just ruined a whole generation
of
shirt wearers.
He all likes to come in like saying, look, I'm part of your tribe.
You know? He's doing it
for the band.
Yeah. I love it. I just remember somebody telling me that you're not supposed to do that.
Not even if you go back to like the first t-shirt they made and it's been a while.
Well, then that's cool.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I saw Blondie like a month ago and I wore a Blondie t-shirt I got in St. Mark's, and I was like, you know what? I'm breaking the rule because no one has this t-shirt. It's like a bootleg, and it was Debbie Harry from the 70s. And I went, and of course, Blondie is selling the t-shirt that I'm wearing.
Uh-oh.
There. The so now,
but you had an original.
I had like an original bootleg. I mean, regardless, now I looked like
second edition
I had just
original.
Bought this new t-shirt.
Debbie Harry points at you. He's like, you out.
You didn't want to let yourself down, so don't be scared to get out. Here's a thousand voices saying, the time is now. So let go, you're on your own. There's something waiting for you, there's something waiting for you. Stand out. There's a thousand voices saying,
something waiting for you. So let go of the world you know. There's something waiting for you in the great unknown. So let go, you're on your own. There's something waiting for you. There's something waiting for you. So let go of the world you know. There's something waiting for you in the great unknown.
We look forward to having you come back to the market and being able to catch you live in concert again, and we really do appreciate it. Now, the record is going to in-store...
We can't say, but it's looking like the fall.
Fall
yep.
release?
Yep.
Okay, but for now, we've got some music, and we're sharing it with our audience, and we really appreciate you guys coming out. It's Jukebox the Ghost.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure to be here.
Thanks for coming by 88.5 KCSN.